Let's turn to the book of 1 Kings tonight. We have 22 chapters. And if you have been reading the book of 1 Kings on your way here tonight, you would have noticed that there are many ways we could divide this chapter. And if you refer to commentaries, you would notice that some divide into four portions, some divide into six or seven. And there is one commentary that divided it under the kingdom established, the glory of the kingdom, the decline of the kingdom, and the fall of the kingdom, and all the various aspects. And there are various ways we could divide it, but since we are doing what we call a theme study, we will divide it in terms of themes, where there is a flow and an emphasis. And that's how we've been approaching this book by book study on these Monday nights. And you will notice if you ever read the book of Acts that the theme that flows could be divided into Acts 1:8, where they were in Jerusalem, they were in Samaria, and they unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They can divide the theme that way. Or they could divide the entire book of Acts into two portions, one on the ministry of Peter, which was emphasized from chapter 1 of Acts right up to chapter 12. And then from chapter 13 right to chapter 28 in the book of Acts, it emphasizes the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So you could see there's a theme in those books. Now tonight in 1 Kings is almost like the book of Acts in those themes. There are two major figures in the book of 1 Kings. The first is King Solomon, the second is Elijah. And the portion of the Bible that divides it very clearly is 1 Kings chapter 1 to 16, and then 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah shows up on the scene. Looks like an entire new chapter there in 1 Kings 17 verse 1. And then from 1 Kings 17 verse 1 onwards, right to the end of 1 Kings 22, we see an emphasis on the key figure who was Elijah. And so we see the shift over how during this period of the kings, we see the glory of the kingdom of Israel rising to its height and its peak. And then when it declined, God began to raise up prophetic ministries in order to speak to people. And God will always raise up at all times a voice in every generation in order to turn God's people to God's way. I never despair when you see, for example, something's happening in the kingdom of God, and you see some decline somewhere, and a church some decline somewhere, and a shaking here and there. Never despair, because during such times, God will raise up another voice. He never allows His people to go without a voice. God always is faithful in that. And so let's look at 1 Kings in that first major section, from 1 Kings chapter 1 to 16, which emphasizes the life of Solomon. And we're going to pick up areas where they would point to the church age. We're going to see in that area. But as we look at the life of Solomon, we could sort of detect and see several areas of focus, perhaps four. The first is Solomon and the throne. As David was growing old, and Solomon was going to be enthroned and take the position of David, a lot of things happened. And 1 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2 emphasizes how Solomon came to the throne. And then later on, we see Solomon and the gift, how he received a special gift of wisdom from God. And based on that gift of his wisdom, God established the well of his entire ministry as a king. And after that, we see Solomon and the temple, another major part. And then finally, we see Solomon and his fall. So there are four major parts in 1 Kings chapter 1 to 16. So let's look first at 1 Kings. And you will notice that there's a theme that goes through 1 Kings and even up to 2 Kings. And the theme is always, and they were compared whether they walked
as their father David, or whether they did not walk like David walked. David became the measuring ruler by which every other king is measured. Some examples of that, let's look at some key verses first as we approach this book. It's in the book of 1 Kings, looking over, in chapter 9, 1 Kings chapter 9. Verse 4. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, O Israel, forever, as I promised your father David. See, David became the standard of measurement in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and in Chronicles. He became the SI unit for the whole of the book of Kings. Right? The international standard for 1 Kings. Every other king was measured on him. Think about David's life, and you could live a life in God today such that the next generation and the future generations could look back and say, you are the measurement by which all other things are measured. See, the world looks for measurement, and we are the standard. It's repeated again, this statement, many, many times, like 1 Kings 14, 1 Kings 15. It's repeated again. Jeroboam and all these kings and Asa was compared to whether they walk like David did. In a sense, that is a little bit of a letdown, because they were supposed to go further. Now, Solomon had that chance, but he lost it. He didn't end as well as David. Remember, it's not how well you start, it's how well you end. It's how well you finish the race, not how well you began. You cannot tell people, well, you know, when I started the race, I had the best Adidas shoes. And I had this and I had that. You were sharp and you were good at your starting everything. But at the ending there, you were among the dropouts and the last one. You're not rewarded for that. People reward others for being first, not last. And we realize here that God did not use Solomon as the standard, because he was a good starter, but a poor finisher. David was a good starter, and he nearly fell in the middle part, and repented, and he went on to finish the race. And he became the standard bearer. In a sense, that is a letdown, for we would rather hear, and they excel above and beyond David. That would have been a better story. But as usual, it's always compared back, because people don't set their heights in the highest that God has for them. Let's look at King Solomon and the throne. There are three areas that we want to consider as he moved into the throne in 1 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2. As King Solomon was about to be enthroned, you can study three areas that he had to wrestle with in his life. Whenever God began to open a door for you, whenever God began to establish your ministry, there will be these three areas you have to wrestle with and make choices. Some of them very difficult choices. Although it looks nice, promotion always looks nice, but with every promotion comes responsibility. There is no authority without responsibility. God never gives authority without responsibility. Neither does God give responsibility without authority. Now, at each stage in which God began to promote you and establish you, you have to make choices like King Solomon did. The first area you notice is his family. He and his mother. His relationship. Some people, when they get promoted, their relationship changes. they are no more the same. Now, there are choices to be made. Because some people grow with you, some people don't grow with you. Here, in his relationship with his mother, Solomon had a very special tie. It was his mother that helped him get the throne. And if he's a good son, he's grateful eternally. He almost lost the throne. Why? In 1 Kings chapter 1, his elder brother Adonijah thought he was a ninja turtle. Hey, you have a ninja there. Adonijah, right? 1 Kings chapter 1 starts with this fellow in 1 Kings 1, verse 5, and he thinks a lot about himself. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. There he is, ninja turtle coming out. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So there is this Adonijah, and one day he even got the commander-in-chief of the army, that was Joab, in verse 7. He conferred with Joab the son of Zeruiah and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed and they helped Adonijah. And so there is Solomon, he was supposed to be on the throne, but Adonijah usurped and took the throne when David was weak. And they started proclaiming, they even had all the other sons except Solomon. All the other king's sons were invited. In verse 8, 9. He also invited all his brothers, the king's son, except three guys. The prophet called Nathan in verse 10, and Benaiah, the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. These three who are loyal to David, he did not invite at all. And he proclaimed himself as king. And it looks like all the whole tribes would have followed him. There comes Solomon's mother. Nathan heard the thing, spoke it to Solomon's mother, and her name was Bathsheba. She's still around. That is the grace of God. Every time you see Bathsheba, I'm not sure whether she still loves to bathe, right? But there she is. The grace of God was there. And Bathsheba came in verse 16 to the king. The king said, what is your wish? She says, assuredly, Solomon your son, you have said that Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. In verse 18, look, Adonijah has become king, and now my lord the king, you did not know about it. So when David heard about it, to cut a long story short, David began to call Nathan, call Benaiah, and he called Zadok the priest, and all together, they got Solomon, put him on David's throne, they anointed him, and they proclaimed him as king. It was all through the work, the initiative was taken by Bathsheba. And you think of this, she's actually quite a good lady, you know, with weaknesses. But basically, she was that kind of person. And later on, look at the special relationship Solomon had. In chapter 2, verse 19. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her, sat down on his throne, and had a throne set for the king's mother. Look, he has the queen's throne. Not really the queen, it's the king's mother. Special throne made for his mother. Even David didn't have such a throne. But for Solomon, he has such a special relationship with his mother. So Solomon had to wrestle when he became king with a special relationship he had with his mother. And he had to wrestle with the fact that his mother was the one who helped him put him on the throne. But in wrestling with that, that's the first thing that everyone will have to wrestle with. Family against principles. We pray that we would never have to make that choice. But there are some times in life where you have to make a choice. And so when somebody else, Adonijah, want to use that same grace that Bathsheba had,